Hey, neighbor. Thanks for joining me today. I love connecting with other twin moms and getting to learn from them, like Daniela Webb, today's guest. She is a mom to a little girl and fraternal twin boys. She recently quit her job when her family moved. Daniela talks about the transition to being a stay-at-home mom, as well as twin struggles non-twin moms may not experience. If you love these stories as much as I do, please head to the show notes and fill out the survey. That helps me be able to produce more episodes that you want to listen to. Then, click the link in the show notes to be added to my email list. There are only 3 episodes left in season 1, and I'll be emailing my list to let them know when season 2 will start. Which is why you should also follow or subscribe in your podcast app to this show, so you are notified when season 2 starts again. I'm Amber. I have 5 young kids, including a set of boy-girl twins. My kids were all born within 6.5 years of each other. It's a lot of kids in a little amount of time. It has been quite the journey parenting all these kids so close in age. I've learned a lot over the years, and people often come to me for advice. But let's be honest, I don't know everything. And in those cases, I turn to other moms for their advice. I believe that people living it and doing it are the real experts. So that's why each week I'll sit down with a real expert, one of my friends, a mom like you, to get all the advice you asked for. And some you didn't. This is Neighborhood Twin Mom. Welcome to the neighborhood. Daniela, I don't remember how we met. Do we just meet through the twin group?
I think we met through the twin group.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah. We've known each other, I guess. I remember you coming to the pumpkin patch activity and your babies were baby babies. And yes. Thinking, how come she's out of the house? Because they were so little.
Yes.
Just because I did not function very well.
Well, and part of that had to do with the fact that I was on bed rest for 80 days.
Oh, that's 80 right.
days I was on bed rest. So I had them in July, at the end of July, July 24th, and I went back to work middle of August.
Oh, wow.
I had to go back because, you know, we live in United States of America where everything is amazing except for Family Leave Act. It's just lacking in many ways. And that's one of the ways the maternity leave is just, it was ridiculous. And so I had to go back to work real quick. And so, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So by the time October came around, I was already working full time, going to school full time and, you know, rocking and rolling. But I couldn't have done it without help. I had a lot of help.
Your boys are fraternal.
Yes. So my boys are fraternal.
Okay. So you were on bed rest because I remember this, but you can go ahead and say, I remember now.
Yeah. So my boys are fraternal. In fact, we found out that I ovulated from each ovary. And so they are just brothers.
Pretending. How did you find that out?
So when you're pregnant, they look at your ovaries to see where a cyst has been formed because that continues to feed the embryo as it develops. Ask your husband. He might know more information about that than I do.
But I just didn't know how you found out, because when did you go in for your first ultrasound?
So I went through a fertility doctor with them.
Oh, okay.
So long story short, I got married when I was really young. I was 19 when I got married. Both my husband and I were in college. We decided we were going to wait to be a little bit more financially stable to have kids. By the time we were ready to do that, we did what most people do to have babies, and it was not working. So we ended up going to a doctor who, after a lot of tests and things, basically sat us down and said, you're not going to be able to have babies the natural way. You're either going to have in vitro or adoption. At the time, I was 23. I didn't feel comfortable doing in vitro, and we didn't have the money. It wasn't an option at that point. And so we just kind of said, okay, let's focus on what life has for us. And let's not focus on not having babies right now. And so we got involved in a lot of other things. And for myself, I got involved in my professional career. And we were great, well-oiled machine, working really good. And then 8 years into our marriage, my daughter was a complete surprise. I had no clue I was pregnant. And I was about 7 weeks along when I found out I was pregnant with her. And so after I had her, I was like, yay, my uterus works. I'm sure that, you know, with that, this is something that we can do again if we want to. And I didn't want to wait another 8 years for that to happen. And so we ended up going to a fertility specialist because we had known the medical history. And he said, well, obviously things can work. Let's just figure out what we can do to help you. And so I just took a pill. They just started really simple. And Clomid, I started on Clomid, but it gave me horrible headaches, like really bad headaches. And I was like, I don't know if this is coincidence or not. And my doctor said, nope, absolutely not. Stop it right away. We'll try something different. And so we tried something different. I can't remember what it was called.
You start with an F?
Yes.
I can't remember what it is either.
Yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about.
I took that and it was interesting because I had to take it and it was like all with timing and everything. Like we had to take it on day whatever. And then we had to have an ultrasound on that day, whatever.
Yeah.
And check if follicles had been developed or whatever. And I went in and the doctor said, you know, I have bad news. Nothing is happening. I remember specifically, he said, there's no movement. And so we went home thinking, well, you know, we were a little bit overwhelmed with the thought that, shoot, here we go. You know, we tried to avoid this 8 years prior and we're going to have to take this road anyway. And so we were really worried about it. But come to find out, whatever ultrasound they did didn't look at the right thing because I was very pregnant when,
oh my gosh,
when they did it. So because I was being monitored for the fertility stuff, we knew pretty early on that I was pregnant with twins and we could see my ovaries, we could see everything. And so I had medical treatment from the very beginning.
I remember that you got pregnant, that it was a surprise with Jesse. That's why I forgot that you did fertility for the boys. So that's why you knew that it was, interesting. Those kinds of things always reminds me of Grey's Anatomy, that they like make mention of those things on Grey's Anatomy. You want to tell your birth story? It cracks me up. I love it.
Okay. I'm not sure if you remember what I remember, but I don't know if it's my birth story that cracks you up or the way that I found out how I was having twins.
Oh no, I was talking about your birth story, but tell me how you found out you're having twins.
So I knew right away that there was going to be multiples because with Jesse, I didn't know I was pregnant for 7 weeks. With the boys, right after the deed, I knew there was something happening. Like, it was just strange. Like my hormones went crazy. I was like nauseous. With Jesse's pregnancy was easy breezy. I felt beautiful. It was just, I remember telling my husband, like, if this is what pregnancy is about, we're going to do this a lot of times. and then I got pregnant with the twins and I was like, oh my gosh, nobody warned me. And so we actually went to the doctor very early on. And I said, if there's more than one, I don't want to know. And he was like, what do you mean you don't want to know? And I said, I have a feeling that there's more than one. So he starts doing my ultrasound and I keep seeing these two little bubbles in the monitor. And I'm just, you know, everybody's quiet and he's just doing his thing. And, you know, it's almost to the end and he's not saying anything. And I finally asked, I said, I keep seeing these two bubbles. What is that? Is that the umbilical cord? What is that? And he said, oh, no, it's too early for the umbilical cord. You told me not to say anything, so I'm not going to say it. And the nurse is in the corner of the room with my file over her face. And she's just like bouncing up and down. And my husband was like, look for a third, dog. And I was like, get him out of my room. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I just knew it. I just knew it in my soul that there was gonna be two little humans inside of me. And I couldn't believe it. I was like not wanting to be real.
What made you nervous about having twins?
Well, I'm only 4'11". My husband is 6'3". My daughter was 7 pounds, 13 ounces, 21 inches when she was born. So I kept thinking, oh my gosh, there's no way my body can do twins. There's like absolutely no way. And also when I was born, I had a lot of complications. As a baby, I was born with a heart defect. It's called VSD, ventricular septum defect. And I had a pretty significant hole in between my ventricles. So every time, you know, when I get pregnant, they check on that and make sure that everything's good. There was a time in my life that I couldn't travel in airplanes because of the elevation affected me. I'm like, how am I going to do this pregnancy with medical complications, with my size, with, you know, like, oh my, my body's not meant to do this. And so.
So you're mostly worried about the pregnancy opposed to like caring for two babies.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. I was worried about the pregnancy more than the two babies. Little did I know.
Yeah. So, but then you were on bed rest because your cervix shortened, right? And then you had to have the cyclage. And then
no, I didn't have the cyclage. Oh. So I was way too far along for the cyclage to work.
Oh, okay.
And so they actually did experimental and they put a pessary. You know what they do to old little old ladies whose, you know, stuff just falls out?
Oh, no.
Okay. They put a pessary in, and it was so early in the pregnancy that, I mean, every day it was like an emotional struggle of not even going to the bathroom comfortably because I thought one of the babies was going to fall out. But that made me go all the way to 37 weeks. And by the time I got there, I was ready to get them out.
So were you on hospital bed rest or were you at home on bed rest?
I was at home.
Okay. So then you had a C-section with Jesse, right?
Yes.
So then you had a scheduled C-section with the twins.
Yes. Yeah. My doctor tried to talk me into having a vaginal delivery because twin A was so low and my cervix was so short. He kept telling me, you give me one good push and that baby's going to come right out. It's, you know, not going to be a big deal. And, but I kept saying, these boys are fraternal. They have everything of their own. So baby A comes out, then what happens to baby B? I don't want to be healing from two different places. I already had a C-section, so I knew what to expect. You know, I wasn't scared about that. And so he said, all right. And I said, okay, when is the soonest, safest day that these babies can come out? And he said, 37 weeks. And I said, okay, I'll be at the hospital. See you there. So then, you know, I knew what to expect. They did what they needed to do, numb me up, got in the OR. They had to go so far up in my spine because my belly was so big. I was bigger around than I am tall.
Yeah, I've seen pictures.
Yes, I was way bigger around than I am tall. I quit measuring myself because it was just sad. It was kind of upsetting to me. And so I quit measuring.
Which is funny because I remember telling you, hey, did you know that you're more likely to have twins if you're tall? And I think you glared at me. Because it's true. It's statistically, you're more likely to have twins if you're tall. And I'm 5'8". And
yes.
But you're definitely not 5'8".
No. I'm almost a foot shorter than that. And I was huge. I was huge. Because I was on bed rest, I also had steroid shots, several rounds. I think it was 3 rounds of steroid shots to prepare the babies for an early delivery if need be. And I tell you what, the doctors, you know, when I asked them, they kept telling me, this is for the lungs. This is to strengthen their lungs. And I kept asking them, how is it that it just makes their lungs grow and develop, but nothing else? And he would be like, well, you know, it's just science, you know. He would go into, and I'm like, that's BS. Like, it's steroids. They're going to make everything grow. And sure enough, I would get the shots in the morning and the next day I would be like humpy dumpy and my belly would be all cracked. Like my body did not have enough time to adjust to the growth of my babies because they were growing so fast. And it was painful. Like my stretch marks would like bleed.
Hurt, yeah.
It was really bad. My belly button never came out, but it was like
stretched. Yeah.
And I'm so short that my belly was at the height of everything that you can think of. So like counters, tables, and every time I like
move,
would go by it, like brush it, just, I would just cry. Like that hurts so bad.
I hate
baths. I'm not a bath person, but that was the only way to get clean when I was pregnant, because even the water hitting my body would hurt so bad. So I would literally just lay there like a big whale in the water and like try to get some comfort. It was a rough pregnancy. It was really, really rough for me. Emotionally, mentally, physically, it was just very difficult for me to think about the joys and the fun that I had when I was pregnant the first time.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful that I had Jesse first and have a quote unquote normal pregnancy and enjoy it, you know, and then have the boys. I did love their newborn stage more.
Wait, back up. Finish telling the birth story. So that you had the C-section, but then something happened during the C-section.
Yeah, so they had to go higher.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So they had to go, the epidural had to go higher on my spine.
Yeah.
Because I'm so short that there's so much belly. There's so much part of my body that it had, the anesthesia had to cover, that they had to go higher on my spine. And so it actually numbed my chest. And so I couldn't feel myself breathing. Like I couldn't normally feel my ribs making the movement. And so I had like a panic attack in the middle of the C-section because I couldn't feel myself breathing. And my sweet anesthesiologist, who we've known for a long time, my husband has known him for a long time since he was a young man. And he just kept stroking my cheek and saying, you know, it's okay. Look at the machines. The machines are working. You're fine. And no, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And I think he just like very sneaky put more of whatever they do. And I was out. I don't remember any of my, any part of the C-section. And so my husband, when he tells the story, he says that because I always tell him, you know, follow the babies. They'll take care of me. You go with the babies. So he went with the babies, went to my room and was waiting for me to come back from the OR. And he said that he had the nurses give him both babies so that as they wheeled me in, I would have this beautiful moment of me getting rolled in and him with both of the babies, just, you know, And instead I was like passed out, you know, like completely under the effects of the anesthesia and did not enjoy it at all. I was like completely just drugged and I just kept screaming, why aren't they crying? Where's the babies? Why aren't they crying? And my husband kept saying, they're sleeping, they're okay. And I'm like, babies are supposed to cry. Why aren't they crying? Make them cry. And it was just completely a bizarre sequence of events, but everybody did fine. The babies were big for being twins and we got to go home together, no NICU, no oxygen, nothing. So they were perfectly healthy and everything went good.
I shouldn't say it cracks me up because it's a little bit traumatic, but the way you tell it, it seems like it wasn't very traumatic, that it was just kind of just, it was what it was. This is how they came. Yep. So you're saying that you enjoy the newborn stage with the twins more so than your singleton?
I did.
Why is that?
And I think part of it had to do with the fact that I had already had Jess. And part of it too, I think, is the fact that, you know, with the infertility thing, when Jess came to us, she flipped our world upside down. I mean, yeah. Trent and I were a well-oiled machine. You know, we knew our roles. We knew our routine. We, you know, two adults, you know, living together. It was a no-brainer. And then she came in and it was like, what? This little princess just shows up and now everybody's on her time, you know? And so it was kind of shocking. But with the boys, we knew, you know?
Yeah, your world had already changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We knew what to expect, and they were just so sweet. And after all the trauma of not even going to the bathroom comfortably, to seeing these two little humans just perfectly beautiful, like they were just absolutely perfect. It was like, I did that. Like, go me. I made it, you know? This is awesome. And just to see their little interactions from the very beginning, they have to be able to see each other when they're sleeping, be in the same area. And you hear about the twin bond, but then to see it, it's just amazing.
Do you think you have helped perpetuate that? Because I think some twin moms really hope for that twin bond and then they don't see it or it's not there. Do you feel like you have perpetuated that, or it's just their personalities?
I think it's just their personalities, because my boys could not be any more different. Like, they are physically, they don't look like twins. It's funny because people think that we're kidding, especially now. So they're six now. And one is about 3 or 4 inches taller than the other, which is, if you know, fraternal twins, even some identical twins can have that height difference or weight difference.
Yeah.
They don't look like twins. And so it's interesting because when it comes up in conversation, they're twins. They're like, yeah, like, like we're joking or kidding about it, you know? And we're like, no, they are.
It's, you know, weird. Yeah. I'm sure like everyone asks you if they are twins when you're carrying on two infant carriers, but then they stop asking.
Yes. Yes, they stop asking and then they just assume. And that's been another interesting conversation, like walking through the supermarket and they notice that they're close together, but not quite twins. And, you know, people always have to make comments.
Yep. And they'd say, I'm familiar with that.
Yep. They're pretty close in age, huh? Yeah, about a minute apart. And then they're like, no way. And I'm like, yeah, they're twins. And, you know, the boys are like, yeah, we're twins. He's the oldest. I'm the youngest. But it's crazy. It's crazy. And once you are in this subculture of twin motherhood, that's happened to me too. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's
kind of a common thing.
Well, especially because mine are boy girl and they don't dress the same. So people just, they can't be the same because they don't wear matching outfits.
Yeah. Well, and it's so interesting to me because I've gotten this from both sides, from the twin world. Why don't you dress your boys the same? You know, and I'm like, because they're two different people. When they were babies, most of the same stuff that we got have been gifts. When they were babies, I didn't have the time to dress them alike. It's cute for pictures, but that's not an everyday thing. You know, if you've been around a newborn, you know that they're going to spit up. You know that they're going to have a blowout. You know that, I mean, it's just, especially when they're wearing cute outfits, it happens. It's just a thing. I don't know why, it's just a thing. Now imagine having that twice. This one might be perfectly fine, and then this one's the one, or they switch spots, you know? It's just not convenient. And for a busy mom, it's just not a priority. At least it wasn't for me. And so other twin moms would kind of, you know, give me looks. Why aren't you dressing your kids the same? And then non-twin moms would say, if I had twins, I would dress my kids the same. And I was sitting there thinking, if I had the time, the energy, the willingness to do it, I would. But right now, it's not a priority in my life to dress them the same. And it's never been. And so my kids have matching outfits, but they've been gifts or like random things that we get. And they're very different. They have very different personalities. One wants to be a construction worker and the other one wants to be a gymnast.
Are they in the same class at school?
So this year they are, only because of COVID. I have been very adamant about keeping them in different classes. But with COVID, we decided to do it at the same, because in case we go into like a Zoom situation, then I only have to worry about two computers with my daughter instead of three computers with each one of them. So again, simplifying.
Yeah.
That's my motto in life.
Yeah.
And so that's the only reason why they're in the same class. I've been pretty adamant about giving them their own space and freedom to be individuals.
You said you had a lot of help while your twins were newborns because your mom, you lived the same time as your mom and your mom cared for them while you worked. But now you've moved a couple different times since then. So you don't live near your parents anymore. So yes. How have you found a village since you've moved? How have you been able to find people? I'm sure it's been harder since COVID, but.
Well, and it's been harder because they're older too. You know, when babies are babies, they're cute and everybody wants to play with them and love on them and snuggle them. But as they get older, they're more rambunctious, you know, that run around, you know, especially with my boys' personality, they're very interactive. They, you know, and they're very involved. They want to know, they want to ask questions. They don't want to go play outside by themselves. They want to be watched and they want to have that interaction. And that's part of the reason. So when I had them, I had my mom and I had my mother-in-law. They both spent time with us and helped us throughout. My mother-in-law would come at night and help with feedings and stuff like that. And then my mom would come during the day and babysit all three of my kids while I went to work. And so when we moved, the boys were three and they were still cute. You know, people were still willing to, you know, help and stuff. Professionally, I have worked in social services and I have spent some time in the child protective area of social services. And I was not willing to just drop them off at a facility or in somebody's house without really knowing them. And I didn't know anybody in California. So I decided to quit my job. My husband and I agreed that would be a better option for us. And I stayed home and took care of them. And it's been interesting to see the dynamics of how people don't understand the twin world. For example, in two ways, I feel like they don't understand. One way is they completely alienate the other sibling. So they focus so much on the twins that the other sibling gets left behind, like with gifts, with little goodies. And it's hard as a parent to have that dynamic and explain to the kids why that's not okay. And not make it sound horrible for the person who had well intentions in just giving the twins gift and not the older child, in my case. Or in the other sense is inviting just one of the twins to an activity when the twins are both friends with a child. I don't think people do it with bad intentions. I just don't think they realize the twin dynamic.
Okay, like, but you just said you wanted them to be individuals, but you don't want them to be invited separately to things?
Well, I think it is different. So when the kids were in separate classes, we could justify, this is Keldon's friend. And I like that. I want them to have that. Keldon's friends, Corbin's friends. I want them to have Keldon's teachers, Corbin's teachers. But when you go with somebody to church who knows that there's three of them, not just two, not just one, and they blatantly pick their favorite, if you will, it's difficult as a parent to justify, okay, Keldon, go with your friend, or okay, Corbin, go with your friend, because it's just not okay.
Yeah.
But how do you reason with a five-year-old about how life is not fair?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it can be, and again, I don't think it's done out of malice. I just don't think it's understood.
Have you had issues with other gifts and stuff like that with twins that have surprised you, different issues that have come up with twins?
Yes, absolutely. Because my boys are so different, I've had family members who have their favorites, and I have had hard conversations about, you can't do that. You can't just focus on one and alienate the other, especially because of the relationship. If it was some random stranger at the store, fine. I don't care. It's one interaction and done. But as a family member who this relationship is going to continue for the rest of this life and maybe the next one, you need to make sure that you're not showing any preferences.
How'd they take that? Did they understand?
No.
Okay.
It's hard. And it's, I mean, as an outsider looking in, I can see how it would be hard, you know, because how do you separate? We gravitate towards what we like.
If my friend and fellow twin mom Melissa ever recommends a product to me, I pretty much always go out and buy it, except for her 12-passenger van. I'm not there quite yet. So when she recommended Kindra Bravely nursing bras, I went out and got one. She was right. It was the most comfortable nursing bra I'd ever owned. They also have pajamas, clothing, and underwear specific for pregnancy and postpartum. The CEO of the company is a mom who wanted more comfortable jammies during pregnancy and postpartum, so she set out to design her own. Most of their clothes are designed to be used during pregnancy and postpartum and are nursing friendly, so they are comfortable and cute. They always have 10% off if you sign up for emails, but with my special link in the show notes, you'll get 20% off your entire first purchase. The prices are already very affordable. Seriously, who doesn't want to save more money? The jammies or nursing tops would make a great gift for your mom friend or a mom-to-be. Again, click the special link in the show notes for 20% off at kendrabravely.com.
And it's so funny. I think that with twin mom, once you have multiples, it's like this camaraderie.
Yeah.
Like,
totally.
You can spot them at the end of the aisle at the grocery store.
Okay, let me ask you this, because you're super extroverted and I'm extroverted. Sometimes, do you feel like twin moms out in the wild, do they respect you when you like say stuff? Because I get up in their face and I'm like, I have twins, you have twins. Like, let me tell you, we're friends. And sometimes, and I remember older mom or, you know, moms who have older twins, when my babies were little, they'd be like, oh, twins. I'm like, yes, they're twins. Yes. Mom. Like I'm doing something. And they'd be like, oh, I have twins. I'd be like, oh, okay. I'll stop and talk to you.
Yeah.
But not until they told me that they had twins was I like, oh, okay. I've met lots of twin moms that I lovingly refer to stalking them. Because I'm like, oh, two carriers, like, let's be friends, especially when my twins were little. So I have made friends that way, but then sometimes they like just blow me off. Like, I could care less that you have twins.
Yeah. And I think it's definitely the personality. Because with this, I was just telling you about these babies, the babies that we have, their mom is very much reserved. Mm. And so, you know, and I ultimately, I sat her down and I said, here's the deal. I'm not going to shove myself onto you. I'm going to wait for you to call me and ask for help. But just so you know, when you call, it doesn't matter when or where or what time, I'm going to be available, but you have to call me. I'm not going to force myself on you, but I'm forcing myself on you. Because she's very quiet, you know, she's very reserved. She's here by herself. She doesn't have any family in town. And so I'm like, you need a village. You need people around you. You need people that understand what you're going through. She was moving and she brought me her babies over to take care of them one time. And it was funny because, well, I say funny, it was probably traumatic for her, but she just started crying. And she was like, it's so overwhelming. It's so overwhelming. And I was like, yeah. And it's her first babies. So she doesn't know any different. And I was like, I know. And I was very calm. I just waited for her to talk. And she was like, bah, you know. And at the end, I was like, okay, how are you feeling? And she's like, just feels good. It feels good to talk to somebody that gets it, that I wouldn't trade this for the world, but I'm exhausted. And I was like, yeah, yes, I get it. I know. Like that dynamic, I feel like sometimes as a multiple mom, you don't say too much because you don't want to seem like you're ungrateful or that you don't realize what a blessing it is to have these two babies. For me, after going through not knowing I was going to have kids and now I have two, oh my gosh, I didn't want to say I'm tired because I didn't want people to think that I didn't appreciate what I had. But when you meet another mom and you say, I'm tired, and they're like, I know, it takes a completely different meaning. I'm serious. Like, that camaraderie, you know, you have twins, I have twins, we're friends. It's a thing. It really is a thing.
Yeah.
Because there's things that I don't think you can even put words to it. It is the way it is. And unless you have more than one child at the same time, you don't get it.
It took me a long time to find more twin moms. When my newborns were little, I couldn't think of anybody who had twins when I had questions. But then I found some more groups when they were a little bit older, and it was like, gosh, I wish I would have had this when they were babies, because I didn't have that when they were babies. It would have been a whole lot more helpful. All right. So what is your best twin advice?
Let me tell you before that, because you said you didn't know anybody. In my job, in my position, do you know this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell me though.
Yeah. So at the time I was pregnant with the boys, I was a juvenile probation officer working in the intense supervised probation area. I was the third person in that job, in that role, to be pregnant with twins.
In a row.
In a row.
Yeah.
When I came in, when I was hired for the job, they warned me. They said, just so you know, everybody in this position. And at the time, I didn't have Jess. So we were thinking we're never going to have babies. And I just kind of smiled. And I was like, okay, like, you guys don't know that every month when I get my period, I cry a little bit because I'm never going to have babies. And I just didn't think. And then, you know, I was there. Let's see, the boys were born in 15. So I was there 7 years. And there I was, pregnant with twins. And then after I was pregnant, then somebody else, not in the same office, but in a different office, was pregnant with twins in the same position. Isn't that crazy?
It's so funny when like coincidences like that happen.
Having said that, the lady that had twins before me in that position, she's one of my dearest friends. She's in Ohio now and I'm in Arizona now. So life has taken us crazy places, but we're still really good friends. And it was so funny because she would tell me, like, twins are just so beautiful. You're going to love them and breastfeed them. You're just going to love them. You hold them and it's such a magical moment. And I breastfeeding, that's for a different session because it was a nightmare for me. And so I remember her like just telling me all these beautiful things that made me feel less than because I couldn't do it. And so I was like, what is wrong with me? You know, so I guess it can go both ways. When you know other people with twins, experiences are so different and it might not work out the same for you. So it might have been a blessing in disguise that you didn't know any other twins when they were babies.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then you didn't have anybody to compare, at least for me. I was like constant comparison, like, but this worked for her. Why isn't it working for me? You know, am I doing wrong? What's going on here? Which is not a healthy place to be after you've had two humans come out of you.
Right.
And the hormones and everything else that goes along with that.
Yeah, but that's true.
Yeah.
You had no intentions of like leaving your career until some things happened. So now you switch to a stay-at-home mom and it's totally different. What do you do to take care of yourself? How do you fill your cup?
That is an ongoing situation. It's a learning process. It's very difficult because I think that it changes with each stage. And I think women, we're pretty awesome. We're amazing beings. We are. It's funny because I used to joke that going back to work for me was a good mental health thing.
After the babies?
Yes, after I had the babies. It was, for me, working was an option. We were very fortunate. You know, we didn't have to have me go to work to make ends meet. It was more, I focus on my professional career because I didn't know I was going to have babies. And then the babies came and that I had to mix that in. And I didn't know how to be a stay-at-home mom. I didn't know how to be a domestic person. I used to joke that I didn't have a domestic bone in my body because I don't like eating and I don't like cleaning and I don't like doing those things that stay-at-home moms have to do. And I did love my profession. I did love having the recognition of a job well done and the pats in the back and the lunches with, you know, the governor to tell you that you're doing an awesome job and how much he appreciates you and having that prestige and that thing to fall back on. And then flipping that to being at home and having the kids yell at you because they don't want to clean up after themselves. And mommy, I don't like that because I don't want to do that. And it's a complete change of mindset. Having said that, I remember first couple of months when I was able to stay home and seeing my babies do things and thinking to myself, like, my babies are cool. Like, these kids are awesome. Feeling like I didn't know this tiny little humans because I was so busy in my professional career that I didn't know my own babies. And so now here I am with all this professional experience and educational background, staying at home, and my kids are back in school. So I have a big chunk of the day where I have nothing to do. And quite frankly, there's days where I'm like, who am I? Where did I lose myself? Am I still the same person that my husband fell in love with when we got married? Because I don't recognize myself anymore. I'm doing things and saying things that I would have never done or said 10 years ago. And I think that that's just the evolution of life and motherhood. It makes you do reach for places and learn, adapt to things that you never can imagine that you would be able to learn and adapt to. I mean, it's just incredible. Like, I just don't even know what words to put into that because it's just very amazing in the full sense of the word.
Yeah. Still working on what you do for yourself.
I'm still working on it. I haven't figured it out yet. I keep toying with the idea of going back to work, but with COVID and the possibility of kids being sent back home on computers, I don't want to start a job and then not be able to do my job. I'm very much, once you commit to doing something, completing it all the way through. So I don't want to get a job and then not be able to fulfill my role there, because my most important role is being mom to my kids. So that's a non-negotiable. My job is going to have to take a backseat to my kids' needs. And with COVID, it's like, we don't know what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's very difficult. I wish I could tell you, like, music is a big outlet for me. I love music, all kinds of music. One of my most favorite ladies in the music industry is Etta James.
Okay, yeah.
Yep. She's my soul sister. A lot of people get surprised when I tell them that because they don't, you know, they look at me and they don't see any relationship to that. But I love all kinds of music. I mean, all of it. I introduced my kids to Metallica the other day. They were excited about that. So we do that. I like doing like paintings and things like that. Nothing fancy. Taking a nice long shower. It's a good thing for me. It puts me in the right. Having that time where I'm like, nope, this is me time. Mascara in the morning. It sounds crazy, but you know, I went from having to be courtroom presentable with very professional outfits to sweatpants and a t-shirt now. And so I know that my day is so much better if I spend that extra 5 minutes and just put a little bit of mascara on. Like, it makes me feel pretty. It makes me feel like I did something for myself that day.
Little things. Well, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to hang out some more, you can follow me on Instagram at @neighborhoodtwinmom. If you want more info on what we talked about in this episode or a transcription of the audio, head to neighborhoodtwinmom.com. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating and review. This helps other people be able to find the podcast. Music for this episode was composed by Cameron Norby. Find more of his work on YouTube.
Okay. They put a pessary in. It's fun stuff. Make sure your husband shows you pictures of it.
Pass.